The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.
Glenn Beck.
The Blaze Radio Network.
President and CEO of First Liberty Institute, Kelly Shackelford, a guy who is watching and fighting some of the biggest battles for religious freedom in the country, was actually in the Supreme Court yesterday and heard the arguments on both sides with the Supreme Court on the, you know, the wedding case, the wedding cake case. Kelly will give us a real quick recap of the case in case you don't know it, out of Colorado, and then tell us what happened. Welcome to the program, Kelly.
Oh, happy to be on, Glenn.
So real quick recap of the case for anybody who doesn't know what it is.
There's been a number of these. People probably heard of whether florist or baker or whatever. We even have a case out of Oregon that a lot of people have heard about with two bakers. This is Aaron and Melissa Klein, who were actually, because they came in, somebody who they sold them baked goods, but then they said, we want you to do our wedding cake. It was two women in that case. And they said, we can't do that because of our religious beliefs, but we're happy to sell you anything else. We're happy to send you just a few doors down to somebody who'll do that. Next thing they knew, they were being prosecuted by the state of Oregon. They've been fined $125,000. Their business has been bankrupted, and they were ordered by the judge not to speak publicly their beliefs on this issue because it might be a further violation. That case is still going, so that's how we got involved in being very concerned about this case that was argued yesterday, which is Jack Phillips, a baker from Denver, who very similar situation. Two men came in, said, we'd like you to do a custom cake for us, just like our client. And he said, look, I'll sell you anything off the shelf, anything I've got, but I can't customly, you know, make a cake because I'm expressing something and I have a faith belief about what marriage is and what God says, and it's a sacred union. And so, you know, said he'd be happy to refer him or to sell him anything he had.
Now, Kelly, it's important to point out here that this guy has done this before, not just homosexuals. It's not the deal. He sells to anybody and anything, but he says, you know, when I have to actually do something, for instance, Halloween, I won't make any Halloween stuff because I believe it's a, you know, affront to God. And so it's it's not a gay thing with him.
No, it's he sells gladly. Like every one of these cases I've ever heard of, the people sell to LGBT without question. It's just when they are asked to participate in a ceremony that obviously is a sacred ceremony to most people, they say, well, wait, I can't express something because you're asking me to sort of express something that I can't express because I don't agree with that. And that's where the rubber hits the road here. And so in this case with Jack, they basically, the state of Colorado said that you're either going to have to stop doing wedding cakes or, you know, or you're going to have to, you know, make, you know, gay wedding cakes for people who ask you to make those. And he decided to, you know, while this is going on, he was also ordered, by the way, to train his people in the proper thinking, which includes his own family members.
Oh,
which that came up in the oral argument yesterday, too. So it's really, this whole thing is really creepy to anybody who gets freedom. The idea of the government forcing citizens to express things that they not only don't agree with, but that violate their beliefs. It's really sort of the ultimate of an attack on freedom. And so,
so yesterday you were sitting in the courtroom, and somebody from Think Progress tweeted out after the arguments for the people who were going after the baker. Think Progress tweeted out, this was horrible. I mean, they really dropped the ball. It does not look good for our side. That was according to Think Progress. Did you get that impression yesterday?
Yeah, I mean, I went in, Glenn, thinking that there was probably a 10% chance that our side would win, because Justice Kennedy is the swing vote, and he's been, you know, pretty consistent on all the LGBT cases. He's written all the, you know, gay marriage decision, the Lawrence v. Texas decision, and we could go down the line. And so everybody looks at him knowing he's probably going to be the swing vote who decides the case. And, well, yesterday he started out seeming to be a little hostile. He said to the Solicitor General of the United States, essentially, he said, look, if we were to give you a victory here, and then the result of this is, you know, bakers are encouraged all over the country not to sell wedding cakes to gay people, would you be happy with that? like what you've created in this country? It was really kind of a disdainful kind of question. And I thought, oh boy, that's not a good start. But then things started to turn when the other side, when the ACLU and the other side, the state of Colorado, got up and started arguing for this, because there is evidence in the record, like one of the commissioners who, you know, made this decision had some really religiously bigoted, anti-religious comments in his statements. And Justice Kennedy was clearly angry about that. And a number of questions were asked about, and for instance, not only that, but somebody went to some bakers and said, hey, I want you to do a cake in the shape of a Bible that says that, you know, homosexuality is wrong. And they wouldn't do it. And so he filed with this same commission. And the commission said that, no, the bakers didn't have to do it in that case. So,
oh, wow.
So, I mean, you've got just clear, you know, viewpoint discrimination. They try to explain it, but it's really a lame excuse. And so you put those together, and what you have here is a state, a commission that's clearly somewhat, you know, directly bigoted and hostile against people of faith who hold a different belief than they do on this issue. And Justice Kennedy and a number of other justices really honed in on that. And that's what I think probably made Think Progress a little concerned, because Kennedy is a swing vote, and he was obviously, he wasn't just perturbed. He asked them, he said, have they renounced this statement? And the attorney had to say, no, it hasn't been formally renounced. And he said, well, are you renouncing it now? I mean, he was really pressing the attorney for the state that had engaged in that type of religious discrimination in their speech before they punished Jack and his workplace.
We're talking to Kelly Shackelford about the case that's been seemingly in the news for a long time.
Masterpiece
Cake.
There's been many of them.
This one's Masterpiece Cake. One of them, an amazing moment, I thought, from the arguments yesterday was with Justice Sotomayor. The commentary was, this is be a grave event, offense to the First Amendment to compel a person that believes that marriage is sacred to give voice to a different view of marriage and require them to celebrate that marriage. Justice Sotomayor's answer to that was, then don't participate in weddings.
Yeah.
And it's that's an incredible moment. I mean, that is seemingly their answer, that instead of, you know, just pragmatically, someone to come and get a cake, and if they decided they couldn't get it from that baker, to just go to another baker, to try to compel every person who's in the situation to just pull out of all weddings, no matter what. Is this really their viewpoint of how this works?
Oh, yeah. This is definitely their viewpoint. And they don't even care that it's speech. They think that the speech issues here are small compared to what they feel are the equality issues that are more important. So the First Amendment essentially folds in their worldview and what they're trying to get the court to do. And Justice Sotomayor clearly holds that opinion as well. I mean, she filibustered a lot of the time, in fact, yesterday when the baker's lawyer was up arguing. So it's a striking, you know, you see these two big things, accommodation laws they go way back to when, you know, we had people who were black who people would not allow them to have a hotel room or eat in a restaurant. And that's why these laws were created to stop, you know, not serving people and not allowing them in your establishment because of their race. And now it's being used in a way that I don't think anybody really ever had any idea that it would be used. It's being used to try to force people to affirmatively engage in, you know, expression that they disagree with. And that's just a bridge too far. I think most people realize when you get to that point, wait a second, now we're having the government do something that I don't think any American ever thought the government would be able to do, which is compel citizens to speak something against their conscience and their belief and their faith.
That's
incredible.
Kelly, it does seem like there were two arguments being made. One was these people should have because of their religious freedom, should be able to do what they want based on their religion. And the other was they're artists and they shouldn't be forced to create art that they don't want to participate in. It seemed like Kennedy was less positive on the art argument and more connected with the religious argument. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I think, you know, the problem, the argument about it being, you know, art and therefore free speech and protected is they didn't know where to draw that line. What is art and what isn't art, right? So is the one of the jokes made by, I think it was Justice Kagan, was what about a hairstylist? isn't that artistic?
And what about a crucifix in a jar of urine? Is that art? I mean, I think we've been down this road.
Yeah, and that they didn't like the fact that it was going to be so wide open that they were scared that it would allow for all kinds of people to exempt out of these laws when it came to baking a wedding cake or any other thing connected with the wedding, being the chauffeur, et cetera. And so that was the concern on the one side. And so I think what Kennedy honed in on, and what not only Kennedy, but Gorsuch and Roberts and a number of other of the justices, was the fact of the intentional, the very specific statement by the commissioner. Now, in fact, a couple of commissioners had statements that clearly showed they really had little respect for people's religious beliefs. And in fact, that there was clear bias in their decision against Jack Phillips in this case. And so that is a pretty narrow ruling if they rule that way. They would say, look, this is religious bigotry. This was religious hostility. We don't have government, discriminating against people because of their personal dislike for people's religious beliefs. And they could simply overturn it on that. And they really sort of wouldn't solve the issue for future cases.
Yeah.
And then they would avoid a lot of these very tough issues that are sort of being battled over yesterday, but they were being done so with a court that's very fractured. We kind of have four conservatives, four liberals, and one who's kind of jumping back and forth at this point. And that obviously might change in the future if the president has a few more appointments.
But that also, I mean, it would be a decent ruling. I mean, it would still leave it murky, but it would be a decent ruling for anybody like this guy who's really truly on the record of this is what my belief is. And I mean, I don't do Halloween stuff, and so it's quite clear, and that, it's hard to judge how sincere people are on their religion. However, it would be a step in the right direction that somebody who has a clear record of their faith, leave them alone, wouldn't it?
And yeah. And Glenn, I'll tell you the big sort of dividing point between the two sides as you listen to the argument is one side was saying constantly that Jack Phillips denied these people this wedding cake service because of who they were. Mm-mm. Because they were gay. And Jack's side would say, no, it wasn't because of who they were. It was because of the message that he was being told to send. And the other side couldn't sort of separate that essentially, if you don't agree with same-sex marriage, you're really discriminating against them because of who they are. And again, Jack would say, no, I would sell to anybody. It's just the message that you're asking me to create that I can't create. And that's the difference that, I don't know, both sides were talking and nobody was convincing the other side. But if everybody who has a different belief is all of a sudden discriminating, then, there's no right to disagree.
Yeah, that's right.
There's no, I mean, the government is now able to actually forcibly compel you. In this case, again, one of the other disturbing things that Justice Gorsuch asked about, he said, I'm even concerned about your punishment, which is forcing Jack to train his employees, including his family members, in a belief he didn't agree with. That's creepy on its own level, and he asked the government about that, and that's where this sort of conflict goes, though, right? If you don't have the right belief, they want to force you
right.
in line, and
right.
We're supposed to have the right to disagree.
Tolerance goes both ways.
Kelly, last question for you. I think maybe the most important part of this was Justice Gorsuch's stand against wedding cakes generally. He said, I've yet to have a wedding cake that I would say tastes great. Do you agree with that analysis? Because I think I do.
He was making the point that most of the wedding cakes are the reason they're so expensive is not that they taste great. It's not the utility of the cake.
It's true.
Kelly, I've just got about 10 seconds left. When are we expecting any kind of decision on this?
Well, normally we would expect it quicker, but most people are guessing because this is so controversial, they typically will wait till the very end of their term, which would be June 27th, to release
Jeez.
That opinion.
Okay. Thanks
so
a lot.
We'll see.
Appreciate it. God bless.
Oh, thank you.
Kelly Shackelford, President and CEO of First Liberty Institute.
Glenn Beck.
The Blaze Radio Network.
I run my mouth for a living, all day, basically. And it can be a little
exhausting. I mean, it's not a real job, but it still could be exhausting. Plus, I do have all-day meetings afterwards, and I've got a couple of little kids. At times, energy runs a little bit low. That's why I take dawn to dusk. Now, I get to that point in the afternoon where I just want to fall asleep on any couch that I can find. Dawn to Dusk is great. It solves these problems for you. It's a physician-formulated extended-release energy supplement which lasts up to 10 hours, increases energy, improves mood, and stimulates your brain, all with no jitters. If it's giving me jitters, I don't want it. That's not what Dawn to Dusk does. Now, a cup of coffee in the morning is fine. But unlike coffee, Dawn to Dusk can last up to 10 hours. It increases your focus, and it's a fraction of the cost per day. I swear coffee these days is like the price of a Kia. Dawn to Dusk is the product. Brickhouse Nutrition is the company, and it's brickhousestew.com. Right now, get 15% off a 1 month supply, but only when you use offer code STEW at checkout. That's brickhousestew.com.